Well, I certainly ask your prayers today. I want to call your attention to some scripture found in Psalm 86. If you have your Bibles today and want to read with me, please turn there. Psalm 86. Psalm 86, beginning with verse 1. Bow down thine ear, O Lord, hear me, for I am poor and needy. Preserve my soul, for I am holy, O thou my God. Save thy servant that trusteth in thee. Be merciful unto me, O Lord, for I cry unto thee daily. Rejoice the soul of thy servant, for unto thee, O Lord, do I lift up my soul. For thou, Lord, art good and ready to forgive, and plenteous in mercy unto all them that call upon thee. Give ear, O Lord, unto my prayer, and attend to the voice of my supplications. In the day of my trouble I will call upon thee, for thou wilt answer me. Among the gods there is none like thee, O Lord, neither are there any works like unto thy works. All nations whom thou hast made shall come and worship before thee, O Lord, and shall glorify thy name. For thou art great and doest wondrous things. Thou art God alone. Teach me thy way, O Lord. I will walk in thy truth. Unite my heart to fear thy name. I will praise thee, O Lord my God, with all my heart, and I will glorify thy name forevermore. For great is thy mercy toward me, and thou hast delivered my soul from the lowest hell. O God, the proud are risen against me, and the assemblies of violent men have sought after my soul, and have not set thee before them. But thou, O Lord, art a God full of compassion and gracious, long-suffering and plenteous in mercy and truth. O turn unto me, and have mercy upon me. Give thy strength unto thy servant, and save the son of thine handmaid. Show me a token for good, that they which hate me may see it and be ashamed, because thou, Lord, hast hope in me and comforted me. That's reading the 86th Psalm in its entirety, the verse 17 verses that make up Psalm 86. I have a question today that I'd like to put before the congregation here today as a title for this message. I want you to think about this question. I want you to really listen to this question, and I want you to really ponder this today in your hearts. How do you want to spend your time on earth? That's my question today, and that's the title that I want to use today. How do you want to spend your time on earth? In the 11th verse that I read from Psalm 86, teach me thy way, O Lord. I will walk in thy truth. Unite my heart to fear thy name. Now, we have been given, a beautiful gift from God. That is life. Do you believe that life is a gift? Well, sure it is, and God is the gift giver. God is the one that gave us this life. And, in this lifetime, and I know that you've heard this many times, for all of us, we have a choice of what we're going to do with Jesus. You know, it's like Pilate once asked the question to an angry mob of people, "What shall I do with Jesus? What then shall I do with Jesus, which is called Christ?" And that was when they had preferred Barabbas be released rather than Christ, and he asked that question, "What then shall I do with Jesus, which is called Christ?" And you know, everybody has to ponder that question. What are you going to do with Jesus? Are you going to seek him and be saved, or are you going to reject him and be lost eternally? But there is a choice in that that has to be made, because God doesn't force anybody to be saved. Now, I'm not saying that you can just make a mental decision and be saved. That's not what I mean. But you do have a choice as to whether or not you're going to seek the Lord for salvation. And I'm going to tell you something else too. After that we have been saved, we have the choice of what we're going to do with it. We have the choice of how that we are going to live. And I want to ask this question today, especially for a little while here, to those who have been saved. And I want you here today, as young Christians especially, I want you to consider this, especially if you're here today and you're a young saved individual, and you've come to that time in your life where you're right on the verge of entering adulthood. You're right on the verge of before too long, you're going to be making your own decisions. You know, up to this point, your parents have tried to tutor you and guide you, but you're just about to the point in your life where you're going to come to the age where you begin to make your own choices and your own decisions about things. And I want to ask you to really think about what you're going to do with your life, how you're going to spend your time on earth, and what is going to be priority in your life. I believe that the psalmist here was on the right track. "Teach me thy way, O Lord. I will walk in thy truth." Do you want to live your life and spend your time here on earth according to that which God would be pleased with? Or do you want to follow after your own ideas and your own ways? And that is the choice. That is the choice. And, I believe that Jesus made it plain to us that you cannot do both of those things. You cannot, no man, he said, can serve God and mammon. You can't do both. You have to choose one or the other. You have to choose to either live your life, walking in the ways of God, or live it walking in the ways of the world. There's no gray area there. It's black and white. You've got to do one or the other. And so the desire of the psalmist here was that God would teach him his ways and that he would walk in God's truth. In the third proverb, in verses 5 and 6, Solomon said, "Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him," that's being God, "in all thy ways acknowledge God, and he shall direct thy paths." And I want you to notice in that sixth verse of Proverbs 3 that it's there in plural. It wasn't just path, but God will direct your paths. Any direction that you may go, God will direct you in that and lead you in the right way. And so if we put our trust in the Lord, this is the promise that we have from God according to His word. That if we trust in the Lord and we lean not to our own understanding, but in all of our ways we acknowledge God, the promise is that He will direct our paths. Now let me tell you something. If God is leading you in your life, if you are under the direction of God, you're not going to go wrong. God will never lead us in the wrong path. He will always lead us, as the disciples were taught to pray, God will always lead us in the ways of righteousness. He won't lead us in wicked ways. He won't prompt us to do wicked things. He won't prompt us to live our life in a way that it's wasted. He will lead us in righteous paths, always. You can rest assured in that God will never lead you astray. He won't do that to anybody. He won't do that to any of His children. Now, I want to remind you again, although you've heard this verse many times, I want to remind you again that we don't have very long. In James chapter 4, verse 14, James asked the question, "Whereas ye know not what shall be on the morrow, for what is your life?" Now, listen, you that are here today that are in your youth, you don't realize this so much yet, but your life is going to pass by very quickly. Your years are going to pass by very, very quickly. Your life is a vapor. James answered the question. He asked the question, "For what is your life?" And he gave the answer to his own question. He said, "It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away." And so we don't have very long. And I want you to remember this. You know, what I'm trying to say to you today, I may not do very well saying it, but I want you to think about the thought that I'm trying to convey today, because it is so important, because we only have one shot at this thing called life. I mean, when we come to the end of our life, as far as our earthly life is concerned, we've only got one of them to live. And if you look back at the end of your life, if you are blessed enough to reach old age and you look back over your life in a time of reflection, and you have a lot of regrets about what you should have done and didn't do, you don't have the opportunity to go back and live another one. We've only got one life here on the earth to live. And I'm telling you that if we don't live our lives in service to God, if we don't live our lives honoring and glorifying God with our lives, then we wasted the time that He gave us on the earth. We wasted it. We squandered it away doing things that don't amount to anything. Do you have a bucket list? Have you made a bucket list? What's on your list? You know, I just sat last night in my study and I thought about some things. You know, you hear a lot of times about things that people want to do. You know, before they die, they call it the bucket list. You know, you may think it's important to go hang gliding or mountain climbing or ride a mule down into the Grand Canyon or bungee jump or whatever. You know, you may think that you know, I've just got to go scuba diving and swim with the sharks before I die. You may have all sorts of ideas about what you want to do. You know what? I guess I'd like to catch the world record crappie. But you know what? If it doesn't happen, that's no big loss. That's no big loss. That's no big loss. These things that we think of, these temporal things, these worldly things that we might think of, that we might feel are so important for us to do. Listen, if the time comes when we've reached old age and we look back over our lives and we realize that, you know, I didn't go hand gliding or I didn't do those things that I want to do, that's no big loss. But if we look back over our lives and we realize I did not spend my time on earth living for the Lord, then it's a huge loss. I don't want you to have those type of regrets. Now, we're all going to have some. You know, I believe that every child of God, when we look back over the scenes of our life, we're all going to have some regrets. We're all going to think, well, I wish I would have done something better. I wish I would have done a better job of serving the Lord than what I've done. I'm convinced that none of us will be completely satisfied with our service to God. But what a tragic thought to look back over your life spent as a Christian and realize, you know, most of my time was spent with the things of the world. Most of my time was spent, I was the busiest person on the earth, but I really didn't get anything done that was worth doing because I neglected the things of the Lord. I want to encourage you. Listen, again, especially as young Christians, I want to encourage you today and urge you that as you enter adulthood, that you be very prayerful before God and that you seek His face and you seek His guidance into that which God would have you to do and would have you to be. And listen, you need to set your sights higher than just how that it's going to benefit you monetarily. You need to know what God wants you to do in this life. You need to know what God wants you to be and how that He wants you to spend your time because you belong to the Lord. You know, oftentimes we ask God to bless what we've done. You know, Lord, look down upon me and bless me in this and bless what I'm doing, when we didn't even include Him in the first place. We didn't include God in any of the plans. We do what we want to do oftentimes, and then we want the Lord to bless what we choose. But listen, start out right. Ask God what He wants you to do. Seek direction from the Lord and ask Him how that you are to spend your life. And that's exactly what the third proverb told us. Put your trust in the Lord. Don't lean to your own understanding. Don't seek your own ways. Seek the ways of the Lord. Seek after the life that God wants you to live and live it. Don't lean to your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge Him, and He will direct your path. You know what? I'm confident today that I could ask older Christians in this congregation to testify to you today, and I'm confident that they would tell you that time spent living for God is time worth living. A life spent in service to the Lord is a fruitful life. And it's a good life. And Satan Listen, Satan wants to confuse you, and he wants to cloud your mind, and he wants to distract you. I'll tell you what, listen, Satan is wreaking havoc on us. He's wreaking havoc on our churches, and he's wreaking havoc on our young people today by distractions. He wants to distract you. He wants to show you the same thing that he tried to show Jesus. He wants to show you all the things of this world and tell you, listen, you know, you can have all of these things if you'll fall down and you'll worship me and you'll come after me. Look at all the things you can have. But I'll tell you what, that's too high of a price to pay for them. If you look in Genesis chapter 5, verse 22, I'm going to go through a few verses here. In Genesis chapter 5, verse 22, there's a man mentioned there by the name of Enoch. And you know what it says about him? He walked with God. In Genesis chapter 6, verse 9, there's a man mentioned there by the name of Noah. And you know what the Bible says about Noah? He walked with God. In 1 Kings chapter 15 and verse 3, there's a king, there's a man mentioned that was one of the kings of Judah, and his name was Abijam. And you know what the Bible says about him? It says he walked in all the sins of his father, which he had done before him, and his heart was not perfect with the Lord his God. You see the difference there? You see the choice there that was obviously made? Enoch chose to walk with God. Noah chose to walk with God. Abijam chose to walk in the ways and in the paths of sin, just like his father before him had walked, and he chose to walk in a way that his heart was not perfect with the Lord. What's your choice going to be? How are you going to choose to spend your life on the earth? Well, in Ecclesiastes chapter 12, we're told how we all should spend our life. Fear God. Ecclesiastes 12, 13. Fear God and keep his commandments. For this is what? The whole duty of man. It's the reason, folks, that we're here. You know, you're going to do some things in your life that are going to be fun to you. You're going to do things and you're going to call it fun. You're going to do things and you're going to say, well, I enjoyed that. But, you know, God put us here to live for him. To live for him. And you know, the greatest, and I can say this to you with all honesty of heart, and God can see my heart today, and he knows whether I'm telling the truth. And I can say this to you with all honesty in my heart today, that I have never enjoyed anything in this life as much as I have enjoyed working for the Lord. The ministry has kept me busy. It really has kept me busy. I mean, my life, my years have flown by. You know, I've spent 20 plus years as a pastor, and the ministry has kept me busy. But listen, I don't regret one moment that I spent for the Lord. Not one moment. I've never looked at any one moment and said, you know what? I wish I could have gone with my buddies on that fishing trip, but I was in the middle of a revival and I couldn't go. I've never regretted anything that I've done for the Lord. Not one thing. I believe that it's the best way to spend your time. I do. I believe that's what Jesus was, I believe that was the contrast that he was drawn between Mary and Martha. that choosing the things of God are far better than the things of the world. We as Christians, we need to control our lives to the point where we allow God, where we allow God the first fruits of everything, even our time. We can get so wrapped up in things that the next thing you know, we've just pushed God completely out of our lives. And I'm going to tell you, you're going to live to regret that. If you're a child of God, you're going to live to regret such things as that. Joshua, you've heard, if you've ever heard Brother Wheat teach Sunday school very many times, you've heard him mention this verse, Joshua chapter 24, verse 29. Joshua, the son of Nun, the servant of the Lord, died being 110 years old. You know what? That's enough, isn't it? Isn't that enough to be said? You know, would you rather somebody look back at you and say and mention your name and mention the trade that you had and all of the places that you traveled to and all of the vacations that you went on? Or would you rather just be known as somebody that served the Lord, that spent their time on earth living for the Lord? To me, that's a great epitaph. Joshua, the servant of the Lord. I thank God for people throughout time that gave their lives to the Lord. You know what? Those of us that are living today are still benefiting from the dedication and the faithfulness of people that lived before us that we never even knew. We never even knew them, never even met them. They were gone from the earth long before we ever came along, and we're still beneficiaries today of their faithfulness to God. You want to leave a mark on the world? Live your life for the Lord. You want to leave something behind that'll benefit people? Spend your time living for God. What we do for the world will perish as soon as we do. It will. Won't be of any benefit. In the 84th Psalm, in verse 10, for a day in thy courts is better than a thousand. I had rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than to dwell in the tents of wickedness. And if you really think about what the psalmist said here, it's a beautiful, beautiful thought. Doorkeeper, the word doorkeeper there, it's a verb, and it was derived from a word that was a noun that meant the sill or the threshold, right there at the door. And the thought that David was really putting forth was, listen, I would rather be standing right at the door of the house of God, even if I didn't have the privilege of being all the way in, I'd rather be standing right there at the door of the house of my God than to be all the way inside the tents of the wicked. There's a verse, I believe, that Solomon spoke that's recorded in Proverbs 16, verse 8, that I believe goes right along with that. He said, better is a little with righteousness than great revenues without right. Listen, if you live in this life, Christian friend, if you live your life serving God, and you never obtain very many possessions at all in this life, Your time has been better spent than somebody that would gain all the riches of the world if you give your life over to the Lord. That's what God expects of us. I'm going to tell you something right now. If you're trying to serve God and the world, it's not going to work. And I will tell you right now, God's not going to be pleased with it. If you're trying to grab onto God and grab onto the world and hang on to both of them, Jesus said, you cannot do it. It cannot. It's an impossible task. You cannot serve God and mammon. I love what, I hope I don't embarrass her at all, but I love what Sister Treva told us in her testimony a couple weeks back. She got fired up in the service and said, I want to spend the rest of my day sold out to the Lord. Well, that's what we need to be as God's people. Listen, young Christians, middle-aged Christians, and older Christians, that's what we all need to be. We need to be sold out to the service of God. You want to see a productive church? Let every member of that church be sold out to the service of the Lord. We've got too much interest in the temporal things of life. We spend too much time involved in them. What? Not a single amen? Boy, we just don't want to admit the truth, do we? But we do. We are far too attracted to these things. And our service to God suffers because of it. Now, you can take that or leave it, but I'm telling you, it's the truth. It's the truth. What do you want to do? What's your choice? What do you want to do with your life here on the earth? I'm going to tell you right now, if you're here today and you're lost, the most important thing that you're ever going to do is make your way to Jesus. Come to Him, because He can purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God. He can save you, give you eternal life. And I don't care what anybody tells you. Don't ever listen to this. Don't ever let anybody tell you that you can live your life for God and honor God without first getting right with God. That's the first step. You've got to have a right relationship with Him. You must be born again. You must be one of His. And then you can begin living your life and spending your time on earth for the Lord. Let's sing. May God help us all today. May God help us as His people to live our lives for the honor and the glory of God. Young Christian, look to God. Look to God for His direction. Give your life over to the Lord and He'll direct you. He'll direct you, and God will give you a life to live that'll please Him if you will do that. Let's all stand and sing.